Going to take our study this morning from the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. I want to read beginning in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through verse 8. And in the reading of this, we're going to see God's great displeasure with the world and its wickedness that then existed. But he's going to make a pronouncement of judgment upon the world, of course, and destroy it with a flood. But there's some encouraging words given in this particular text, especially in verse 8. Reading from the New King James Version, we read in Genesis 6 and in verse 5, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." So what we have here is we have an occasion in which God expresses his great displeasure with the wickedness that is in the world at this particular period of time, and gives promise that he is going to destroy the world. But then he makes this statement about an individual by the name of Noah who had found, that is, he had attained, or even won, the grace of God in his life. This simply means that Noah had attained to the grace of God. He had gained the grace or favor of God. That is, God looked down upon him favorably. And what was the result of that favor or the grace of God upon Noah and his family? Of course, it was escape or deliverance or salvation from the flood, from the judgment that God brought upon the world at this time. But we might ask the question, why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? How did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord during this time? Being among the wicked of the world at that time, how did he and his family find grace in the eyes of the Lord? And how might we apply that to our own situation today? Well, let's note some reasons why Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and I believe these reasons are found in the Scripture. First of all, we see in Genesis 6 and in verse 9, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man. He was a just man. Now, some versions, instead of the word just, use the word righteous. American Standard Version, New American Standard Bible, English Standard Version, New International Version. Most versions use the word righteous because Noah was a righteous man. What does it mean to be a righteous man? It means to be right in God's sight. It means that Noah conducted himself according to God's will and not according to his own will. That is, he was right in God's sight because he had done that. And God considered him righteous because he simply, as we'll see later on, he did all according to the will of God. That's what he did. He simply conducted himself according to God's commandments. And so, thus, he was characterized as a righteous man. That's how he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But there's another reason why Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and that is because he was said to be perfect in his generation. Genesis 6 and verse 9. Genesis 6 and verse 9. He was said to be perfect in all of his generation. Perfect? The word perfect here means blameless, complete, faultless. It has reference to his moral conduct and behavior, not only before God, but before man as well. That is, it means that he was that way, blameless or faultless, among his contemporaries. That is, he lived among men and they were wicked and evil. That is, their moral condition before God was unrighteous. They were not blameless. They were not complete or faultless in sense in regard to having high moral integrity or moral character or decency or uprightness. But Noah was perfect. He was complete, a man of moral character, a man of virtue, a man of upright character and decency. Thus he is referred to as a perfect man in his generation or among his contemporaries. That's why he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We're also told and given another reason why Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and that is because he walked with God. He walked with God. What does that mean? He walked with God. That is, he had fellowship with God. He was in union with God. He was in a relationship with God. This is how he manifested his righteousness and his integrity. He manifested his integrity, that is, his uprightness and virtue and moral character, because he had a relationship with God, because he was in fellowship with God. Thus he walked with God. You might say he imitated the example that Enoch, his great-grandfather, had given him, Genesis 5 and verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. But we're also given another reason why it was that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that is found in Genesis 6 and in verse 22. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. Why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Because he did what God commanded him to do. As a matter of fact, that statement is made as well in Genesis 7 and in verse 5. This is why he was considered to be a righteous man, because he did that which God commanded him to do. Remember, a righteous man lives according to the will of God, not according to his own will. That is the standard that he lives and conducts himself by, is the will of God. Thus Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he simply did that which God commanded him to do. Amen. And we learn from the book of Hebrews in Hebrews 11 and verse 7 that he did that out of obedience of faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. So it was his faith that brought him to obey and do all that the Lord commanded him to do. And then let me give you a fifth reason, and we find this in the New Testament, why Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It was because he was a preacher of righteousness, 2 Peter 2 and in verse 5, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. A preacher, a proclaimer, a herald, one who cries out righteousness. He is crying out and heralding out God's desire for men to live righteous and upright and godly lives. He is calling upon them to live and to do as he does, to keep all the commandments of God. That is, to live righteously before him. So he proclaims the need for righteousness, even though he's living in an ungodly world. He proclaims the need of righteousness in the lives of others. Well, why? We might ask, why do we need to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord by those five things that we just saw. He was a just man. He was perfect in all of his generation. He walked with God. He did according to all that God commanded him. He was a preacher of righteousness. But why do we need to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Well, it's not because of the threat of a worldwide flood, because in Genesis 9 and verse 8, God said, as he spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." So why do we need to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? It's not because there's going to be another flood, because God said there's not going to be another flood. As a matter of fact, he made promise that there's not going to be another flood, and he gives us a reminder in the sky in regard to that promise. Genesis 9 and verse 12, God said, "And this is the sign of the covenant which I have made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. So why do we need to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? It's not because the earth is going to be destroyed by water, but it's because God's going to bring judgment upon the world by fire the next time. 2 Peter 3 and in verse 3 and following, knowing this verse, that scoffers will come in the last days walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all of these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hasting the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? We need to find the grace of God. That is, we need to find grace in the eyes of God because of this. Not because God is going to flood the world with water, but because he's going to destroy it. Is this not simply another way of saying that, like Noah, we need to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? When the end of the world comes, we had better be in a condition where we're seen by God in such a way as he'll bestow favor or grace upon us, and we'll be delivered or saved from the judgment that comes upon the world. Amen. So the big question is then, how can we find grace in the eyes of the Lord? How can we find grace in the eyes of the Lord? If Noah found, if he attained to the favor of God and he was delivered from judgment, how can we thus find grace in the eyes of the Lord and be delivered from the judgment of the world that is to come? Well, we, like Noah, we must be just in God's sight. That is, we must be righteous in God's sight. And God has made a way by which we can be made righteous in his sight. Romans 5 and in verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Having been justified, to be justified is simply to be made righteous. We're made righteous in the sight of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thus God has made a way by which we can find favor in his sight, if we'll simply be justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 3 and verse 24, Paul said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Through the redemption, through the deliverance from sin, through the forgiveness of sin. That is where? In Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. God has made provision by which we can be righteous. So come the day of judgment, we can find grace in the eyes of the Lord if we're like Noah, a righteous man. Indeed. Romans 5 and verse 1, Paul said, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have a peaceful relationship with God. We're in harmony with God. That is, we're in fellowship with God, like Noah was when he walked with God. Therefore, having been justified, that is, having been made righteous, how? By faith. That is, by an obedient faith. A faith that believes and obeys. Thus we have peace with God. So 2 Peter 3 and in verse 14, let us be found by Him in peace and blameless and spotless before His coming. How can we find grace in the eyes of the Lord like Noah did? We can be a perfect man. That is, we can be complete, we can be blameless, we can be faultless among our contemporaries or in the generation in which we live. And God has provided a way by which we can make sure that takes place as well. Because as children of God, we simply need the continuing cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ made available for us. 1 John 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, note this, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We have fellowship with one another in the consideration is we and God. We have a relationship with God. We're in fellowship with God. We walk with God as long as we walk in the light. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, we can be a perfect man. We can be a complete man. We can be blameless or faultless among our contemporaries in the generation in which we live. If we simply confess our sins, He will cleanse us in the blood of Jesus Christ. The Word of God guides us to this completion, guides us to this perfection, guides us to this state of faultlessness or blamelessness before God. 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God wants us to find grace in His eyes when He comes in judgment. Thus He's made a way by which we can be just or we can be righteous. He's made a way by which we can be perfect or complete, blameless in His sight when He comes. How can we find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Well, the same way that Noah did. By walking with God. That is having a relationship with God. That is being in fellowship with God. And as we're told in Ephesians 4 and in verse 7, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that we should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. If we walk with God, we're in a relationship with God. We're in fellowship with God. And let me suggest to you that this walk with God is a walk of submission. When we walk with God, we walk God's way, not our way. That is, we have to submit to the ways of God, not the ways of man or not our own way. We walk with God, so we walk the way He wants us to walk. Walk means to live, conduct ourselves, and behave ourselves in that manner. This walk with God is also a walk of separation. Because if we walk from God, with God, we will keep ourselves separated from sin. But this walk with God is also a walk of solitude as well. Because if you choose to have fellowship and a relationship with God and walk with Him, it is a walk of solitude because you might be walking alone. You'll be walking with very few because there's not many men who have that relationship and fellowship with God to walk with Him. Amen. How can we find grace in the eyes of the Lord? We can do what Noah did. We can do all according to God's commandments. We can do all. Note that. Noah did according to all that God commanded him. And we need to do all that God has commanded us. Note this is brought out in Matthew 28 and verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, He said. So we must do all that the Lord has commanded us. For in so doing, what do? We do like Noah did. We demonstrate our faith. We demonstrate that we have a living faith. That's how Noah was able to save his household through the building of the ark. He did all that God commanded him. And that which he did by faith. And when we do all that God has commanded us, then we demonstrate our faith. Our saving faith. As James said in James 2 and verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. James 2:24, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. A man is justified by works. A man is made righteous by works and not by faith only. Amen. Remember, Noah was a righteous man. How was he a righteous man? He was a righteous man by works and not by faith only. He moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. And in James 2 and in verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We must have a living faith. And when we do all that God has commanded us, we demonstrate that fact that we have a living faith. How can we find grace in the eyes of the Lord? We can be a preacher of righteousness. It's God's will that we be a preacher of righteousness. We can proclaim righteousness. We can herald righteousness, right living, right conduct. We can herald and proclaim the way by which man can become righteous. As a matter of fact, it's God's will that we proclaim the praises of Him who called us. 1 Peter 2 and in verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that in order that or so that, here's the purpose, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And to proclaim the praises of Him would certainly include proclaiming the way by which man could become righteous, so that they too can find grace in the eyes of the Lord when the day of judgment comes. And this can be done most clearly by setting a proper example for those of the world. Romans 12 and verse 1 in our reading this morning. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Friends and brethren, God does not want anyone to perish in this great destruction that is to come in the day of judgment. 2 Peter 3 and in verse 9, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Acts 17 and verse 30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. And He's given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. And when we do all that God requires us to do, and when we turn from our sin and turn to Him, what do we find? We find the same thing that Noah and his family found. Grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's what we find. Speaking of the salvation of Noah reminds us of 1 Peter 3 and in verse 20 and following. Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waiting in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. There's also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just as God used the element of water to save Noah from a wicked world, so His grace will save us through the water of baptism. He has given us His Word as a means and medium through which we can seek the grace of God. If we will simply believe it and obey it, we will find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Have you done so? Why not find favor in the eyes of God this morning? In Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter told all those on the day of Pentecost how it was they could find favor in the eyes of God. He said, repent and let every one of you be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ in order to receive the remission of sins. That's how you find grace in the eyes of the Lord. God will show favor upon you. You become a righteous person. Then you live a life that is blameless, perfect, and complete before God. How? By walking with God, having a relationship with Him, and doing all that He commands you, and proclaiming His righteousness to mankind. Why not do that this hour? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, repent. Confess that sin. Pray God that He will forgive you of it, and we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.